last item, which is Luke is going to present. I need my notes here. Luke has a Master of Global Politics from the LSE in London. His contributions to the UK's Global Policy Journal have been concerned with issues of power, knowledge, creation, democracy and development. And Luke spent 3 years in Cambodia working for local and international NGOs. Since August 2013, he has been an international program coordinator for Habitat for Humanity in Australia, where he has focused on disaster risk reduction and land rights programming. And he's responsible for me being here today, so I better be nice to him. So Luke is with Dr. Neelam.
She's unable to make
it. I didn't think I'd seen her. So he's going to present to us a working paper on land tenure insecurity in Asia Pacific. Okay? Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. I'm very conscious of the fact that this is the time of day and the time of the week where an afternoon beer is on everyone's mind. So I appreciate you hanging in there. We're almost at the finish line. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I think a lot of the presentations today have come from perspectives that have been legal in nature, technical in nature, and had, especially with the rendering, a project implementation focus. What I'm going to do is come from more of a social science-based analysis of the issue. And I really want to talk about that, land tenure, security, and the spatial organisation of cities. This picture here actually is a fantastic example of the spatial organisation that I'm talking about, where you have in the foreground seemingly insecure tenure, certainly lack of adequate infrastructure and resources, and in the background you have more developed parts of the city. And anyone who's taken a walk through many of the cities in the Asia Pacific region, and for that matter around the world, Latin America included, would have seen this spatial reality very, very clearly. The quote at the bottom is one that I like a lot, actually. I think it reminds us of a couple of things. First, that cities are human creations and that they must meet the needs of the people who live in it. And at the same time, allow for the functioning of an economic system that is its lifeblood. Secondly, it impresses upon us the fact that we actually have to live in these cities that we create, or as the author says here, we are condemned to live in what we create. And I think the quote suggests the dystopian nature of many modern-day cities, particularly in the developing world. From pollution rates in Beijing to the floods in Jakarta, from the slum vistas in Mumbai to the garbage islands of Manila, a lot of the cities in the Asia Pacific seem to be struggling with balancing human habitation needs and the imperative of economic growth. That's all to say that cities need to balance these two things out. They need to be both livable and functional. They need to be livable and productive. And often these things are in conflict with each other. So land is, in most cases, a kind of commodity. Its commodification has done a lot to reduce it to yet another tradable asset. But what I think is striking about land is that it remains for many something genuinely distinct from other tradable goods. So why is land unique? Well, first thing, it cannot be moved. It's locked in place. It also has intense psychological and emotional dimensions for people, something that we've talked about a lot today. And this is particularly true of traditional societies. And finally, secure land to live on links, I think, so fundamentally to human development outcomes, that to speak of it as a commodity in such limited terms is to really look over its significance for human development. Land tenure insecurity, a bit of a mouthful and fairly opaque three words. I think, to boil it down, what sort of issue are we looking at? Well, I think it's primarily an issue of political philosophy. It centers around questions like what kind of a society do we want and how do we deal with inequality within our society. It involves, as we've seen today, a range of inputs, a lot of institutional arrangements, legal frameworks, reform implementation and so on. It's subject to administrative, technical and legal inputs, but these all, and I think this is very important, these all take their direction from a consensus around what is a just society and how do we deal with the least fortunate within our communities. So my presentation today, I think really can be broken down into four parts. And it is an overview of a working paper that's underway at Habitat for Humanity Australia. I'm co-writing the paper, as David mentioned, with Dr. Neelam Pradhananga, who was unfortunately unable to make it today due to work commitments. But together we've been working on this paper for the last few months. It's coming together and we hope to have it finished within the months ahead. The paper's aim, as it stands at least, is to cut through some of the issue's complexity and make it just generally more accessible. It will attempt to do this by listing some common types of land tenure, investigating in different contexts why land formalisation is undertaken. It will also analyse the key drivers of the crisis and develop the link between land rights and poverty alleviation, situate the issue within a human development model. The paper will be a sort of a theoretical overview, if you like, of land tenure insecurity, and hopefully, through further case study analyses in Cambodia and Nepal, the paper can start to draw out some considerations for development practitioners who want to program in this space. Today I'll speak on the paper's attempt to establish something of a social science-based framework for understanding the issue. In particular, I'm going to look at the global economic process driving the land tenure crisis in the Asia-Pacific. I'm going to talk about land tenure and shelter provision as key ingredients for human development. We'll have a quick look into compare and contrast the traditional liberal land rights regime and counter ideas that highlight land social function. And finally talk about what role civil society might play in working towards land-based human development improvements.